Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, welcome back to Hemp Present. I am Vivian McPeak. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Malcolm McKinnon. Malcolm is a veteran photojournalist and writer based in New York City with over 30 years behind the camera, often using the pen name of Dan Sky. He is the former editor-in-chief of High Times and was a staff member of the magazine from 1991 to 2017. He also served as the executive editor for Hemp Times from 1996 through 1999. His work has been published in more than 200 publications worldwide, and he's interviewed and photographed a wide range of celebrities. Over 25 trailblazing years, Malcolm has traveled over 1 million miles on assignment, photographing the plant as well as the leaders of legalization and crafting an unrivaled archive of marijuana photography. He's just published his book, Pot Shots, The Journey of a High Times Photographer. His passion has always been the camera, and in his book, he has captured cannabis culture's essence from its advocates to its adversaries, and I have him right here with me. Welcome back, Malcolm, to Hemp Present.
Oh, thank you, Vivian. So pleased to be on the show. I really appreciate you letting me talk about my book today.
Yeah, my pleasure. And, you know, I just want to say that I covet that great photo you took of me and Woody Harrelson backstage at Hemp Fest. It's one of the only actual pictures that I have of all those years of me actually kind of working with someone, you know, as I'm showing him a clipboard, and you were there for that moment somehow. I don't know how you did it.
No, I was backstage. It was great. You know, you were mapping out what to do with Jack, telling him where he would be on stage and stuff. But I do have some photos of you, Vivian, doing your thing on the main stage. You're in my book. You're one of the leaders, and I have a whole chapter devoted to leaders of the movement. And obviously you're one of them.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. That's honored. I'm honored. Well, we covered this the last time that you're on the show, but just for the benefit of today's listeners, I want to get out of the way. Can you touch on how you became involved in photography?
Yeah, well, you know, I started taking photos very, very late in life, about age 29. I was taking great shots with a snapshot camera, and my wife got me a Canon AE-1 for my birthday and for Christmas, and I was on my way. I just started shooting everything in sight. I never took a photo class in my life. I just read lots of books, looked at lots of magazines, and I got better and better. And I was in the fitness industry at the time. It was my second career. I came to New York to be an actor. And so I was in the middle of my fitness career, and Peter Gorman, who was an editor with the magazine, who passed away last year, sadly, he was a good friend of mine, and he recommended me to shoot some of his stories, and that put me on my way. I did my first photos in 1989 as a freelancer, and I ended up having a 25-year career with High Times, and I ended up being published in 5 different decades with High Times. So if this were hockey, I'd be Gordie Howe. Let's put it that way. No, I had a tremendous career with High Times, 25 years. Believe me, it was the highlight of my life, doing all the things I did, gave me more opportunities to meet more people and all different kinds of people. That was my career with High Times. It was really just a dream come true to have a third of my life spent covering the cannabis plant.
You know, I met Peter Gorman in 1990 at the Oregon Country Fair. What a great dude, man. And he's really missed.
Peter was great. He really, he was a fine, fine writer. And he ended up becoming an ayahuasca expert. He wasn't a dilettante. I mean, he studied this for 30 years. He went to the Amazon every single year and became very, very versed in ayahuasca journeys and helped a great number of people. And he is very, very much missed.
Yeah, he became kind of a shaman of sorts. amazing dude, man. Amazing dude. So, Malcolm, yeah. High Times magazine was a groundbreaking, trailblazing publication that arguably did more to advance, identify, and influence the legacy cannabis culture than any other single entity I can think of. As mentioned in my introduction, and you said you were chief photographic journalist for 25 years for High Times. How did you get started at the magazine, and what were those years like for you?
Well, you know, I started, like I said, I did my first shot in 1989, took some shots of Rocket Munaka, which was bang candy from India, and it went on from there. I was just a part-timer. I really wasn't all that sure that I wanted to remain with High Times, but then I started having more and more success shooting. When I did the story on Jack Herer in 1995 and did his cover, it was the biggest issue we've had in years. It was just tremendous. And I realized that I was onto something, that I was doing good work. And I became far, far more interested in not just being a journalist, but being a cannabis journalist. So, I moved on to Hemp Times and worked for both Hemp Times and High Times simultaneously, covered the emerging hemp movement. And, covered all kinds of things. When Woody Harrelson planted four seeds in Kentucky illegally and orchestrated his own arrest, I was there. When the Lakota planted hemp on Pine Ridge in 2000, 2001, 2002, I was there. So I really got to participate in a lot of historic happenings in the cannabis movement. I was, extremely fortunate. And I was given a lot of opportunities at High Times. To cover the things that I want to cover. I got very, very involved in Native issues because I've always been a proponent or just a supporter of Native rights issues. And so that's how I got started, just as a photographer. But as I realized, my photographs would only be used in other people's stories. When I realized that, I said, I'm going to start writing myself. I had a journalism minor in college, and so I took to it right away. And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the whole act of making a magazine. I think you know about that, being a managing editor for Skunk. You see the magazine come to life. You see, you birth something every month. It's a great, great job to have, I think, in the cannabis industry, to be a journalist.
Yeah, it is. It is great because you work so hard and so many, you collaborate with so many people, and the pressure's on and you got a deadline and you barely make it. And then it comes out and you've got something in your hands, especially in old days. I'm fortunate. I still work with an actual print magazine.
Yeah, I was exactly. You're very, very fortunate. You know, it's true though. I mean, every month, when the magazines would come in boxes, the whole office would stop and everything would get quiet. And everybody would look through the magazine page by page to see what was done. So it was an exciting every month to see that magazine come out. And there are many cannabis magazines out there now. A lot of them are giveaways. Throwaway, I should say. there are so many out there right now. And people ask me, how to get into pot journalism. How do you do that? I said, well, folks, do it yourself. Find a town or a state or a city or a county that needs a cannabis magazine in one of the legal states. There are dispensary owners out there who want to give you their money. They want to advertise. They want to make business. So that's what I would suggest to anybody who's looking into cannabis journalism right now.
Yes, we live in the age where content is king, right?
That is the truth. I mean, the thing is that, I think High Times doesn't have quite the edge it used to. High Times used to be very much into alternative consciousness, really took on the government very, very strongly. And I think all cannabis magazines, not all, but certainly many of them seem to have become very, very soft. They're not quite as edgy as they used to be. As cannabis journalism used to be when we saw High Times and cannabis culture and so forth. So, yeah, but it's a different era now that it's legal and mainstream and you have the suits getting into the business. And you know, a lot of people are complaining about that, that, you know, that the movement has gone in the wrong direction. It's not quite what we expected when we talked about making pot mainstream, but these are all things that we have to deal with now. You know, so it's sad because I hear a lot of things about people who are just plain shady, you know, and I think there was a real sense of honor in the days of the 90s and the 80s, you know, among pot dealers and pot growers. And so, you know, there's a great deal of honor. You didn't rip people off.
Yeah,
that seems to be something becoming commonplace from what I understand.
It's amazing when the big bucks come in, the transformation that can happen in anything, right? You know, I just want to say we got to go to break here in a second, Malcolm, but I want to say that High Times, in addition to it, the cannabis culture and the counterculture, it was amazing. It had amazing investigative journalism and political journalism in it. It was actually a really groundbreaking magazine in more ways than one. Do you agree?
Oh, I would totally agree with that. I mean, some of the people, Bill Weinberg, for example, he actually went down to Mexico and met Commander Marcos of the Zapatistas. He did that. He was a High Times journalist. That was groundbreaking. Peter Gorman, you know, took on politicians all the time. He did investigative journalism like nobody else. We had some great journalists back in those 80s and 90s.
Well, we got to take on a break right now, so don't go anywhere. I'm going to come back. We're going to start, and we're going to talk about Malcolm's book. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We are back with Malcolm McKinnon. Malcolm, I want to go back and ask you about some of your cooler assignments at High Times, but I want to talk about your book, Pot Shots, The Journey of a High Times Photographer. Can you describe your new book for us?
Yeah, well, basically, it's got a number of chapters. It covers the icons, starts with the icons of the movement, who I always considered to be Jack Herer, Dennis Perone, Tommy Chong, and Dr. Lester Grinspoon. I know there are other people as well, but I always felt these four people were the stalwarts, the people who we really looked up to, who really carried the banner at first for us in the movement. And then it covers gardens, beauty in the buds. Covers the leaders. I have a number of, I also shot many portraits of models, shot many, many celebrities who were kind enough to pose with pot. So it's a number of different chapters and a few of my, you know, strange assignments that were memorable. So it's a book of over 200 pages, has over 300 photos. And as I say, it's a real document of the history of the cannabis movement. It talks about a time when pot was dangerous. I think that's been forgotten by a number of people and also a new generation that didn't go through with what we did. Pot was downright dangerous. It was perilous to smoke a joint, whether you're growing, whether you were dealing pot, you were taking your life in your own hands. And I think in the early days, High Times had that mission, you know, that we're taking on the government. We have a mission to make pot legal. And I think that was that's what motivated me to write my book, because I was hearing those times were being forgotten. And I had so many photos that covered those people who were so important to the movement, all the leaders and all the people who have done so
many
much.
Many who are gone now.
Oh, I was just about to say that. So many people are not going to get the recognition they deserve. So many people worked so hard. And as you said, so many have passed on. I mean, it's a new generation. And for example, you know, so many younger people don't know that Jack Herer was the leader of the movement. He's not just a strain, everybody. He was bear. Yeah. He was the Moses of cannabis. That's for sure. And cannabis was his burning bush.
You know, Jack, you know, had his stroke. All right. And I think that was around 2010 or something like that. And anybody,
a little bit, it was 2000 when he had the stroke.
Drew, you're right. I'm sorry. I think he passed away in,
in 2010. You're right.
Yes. His stroke was in 2000. Anybody else would have been done, right? It would have been over for them, the speaking, the touring. And he didn't miss a beat. I mean, he came right back at it. And he learned to talk again on stage. He refused to stop. I've never seen anybody so driven in my life.
Yeah, the thing is, he had a magnificent gift for speaking, and he never recovered completely his gifts for speaking. And I photographed him for his third High Times cover. I photographed the first two. And this was right after his stroke, and he could barely speak. And I remember being at his home, and he tried to express himself, and it just couldn't. You know, he just could not get the words out. Within a few years, though, he was doing much better, and he could give still moving speeches, even if they were halting and he'd search for words. You knew that his passion had never wavered.
Yeah, I was completely blown away at his drive and his determination. I mean, there's nothing was going to stop him from getting his message out. Nothing, right?
No, and he was always that way. He said that he would not stop until he reached the age of 80 or something like that.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
His book, he promised that he would never give up carrying the banner. So, yeah, I encourage everybody to take a look at the book and learn who these people were. Because, those 4 icons that I mentioned, 3 of them are dead. Tommy's still going strong. And Tommy is just an amazing individual. Truly is. I asked him one time, how do you account for your popularity? It just seems to grow. Everybody seems to have a picture with you. He says, I'm real. I'm not somebody on a movie screen or on a TV show or just doing interviews. I'm real. People know I'm real. You know, and that's basically
it. He's terribly down to earth. He's actually a really nice person. I had the benefit at Seattle Hemp Fest to work with some of, famous people and some of my heroes and a lot of celebrities. I think not as many as you. And it was always interesting to find out who was kind of arrogant and full of themselves and demanding or distance, and who was really down to earth and real and approachable, and kind. Yeah. Over the years, you had the opportunity to interview a wide range of celebrities. Who did you enjoy interviewing the most?
Well, I think the people that really, I'll say the people who intimidated me the most, because I'm not, normally I don't really take celebrities all that seriously, but there are a few, like Merle Haggard, who was on the cover of Hemp Times, and I interviewed him, and he's a very gruff personality, one of the real icons in the pantheon of country music, along with Waylon and Willie, and, he was one of those guys, and just very, very nice, very, very polite, and every time I took a shot, he'd do this extravagant chord on his guitar. It was really wonderful, but he was such a nice guy. And I remember when I interviewed him, he was very, very clear that, listen, I'm talking about hemp here. I'm not talking about marijuana or anything like that. I want to make that clear. I'm talking about hemp here. I said, no problem. This is Hemp Times. We're going to talk about that. He immediately takes his pipe, fills it with pot, and starts smoking during the interview. So,
we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. I guess he wasn't in Muskogee.
Yeah, no, but he did. Right in the studio.
Oh, yes.
That song,
I believe, was supposed to be a parody, and it would be a giant hit by people that took it seriously.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, they were all on the bus together, and they were going down the street, and they're saying, there's a footwear, there's this. Just going down the street in Muskogee, and they just made up this song as they went along. And of course, the weirdest part is the Republicans picked that up. They thought, oh, this is an anthem for us, to be good God-fearing American. They didn't even realize,
It was actually a parody of them.
Yes, it was. It absolutely was. Yeah, no, he was, Merle's great.
What other celebrities were really, really fun?
I'd have to say Woody was, because he was, he's got a very, very youthful kind of way about him. He's just a nice guy.
Down to earth,
I watched him. Yeah, I watched him with his fans, and people would come up to him, and he was always polite and nice. You know, he said, I think that's because I was raised by women. You know, I only saw him get tense once, and that was after one of his court hearings when he had planted four seeds in Kentucky. He was just getting mobbed, and he got a little bit tense. Just get me out of here. Get me out of here. But, you know, but normally he's just a very, very laid back kind of cool Texas energy about him. Yeah, he was wonderful. You know, I interviewed Penn Jillette, and I did it right before his magic show in Las Vegas, and he gave me a 17 minute interview, and I have never heard anybody talk so much in 17 minutes, give me so much information. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He truly was. Lewis Black, another guy, just, you know, he smoked pot, he said, all through Yale drama school, doesn't smoke anymore. But, you know, just a very gentle guy, very unlike his stage persona, you know, very, very mm-hmm. gentle guy, and very, very thoughtful, too. You know, comedians were always easy to get on the cover of to get into the magazine. They have always had something to say. And I remember interviewing Roseanne. This is before she went, you know, haywire, you know, said all these crazy shit. But she said, what? I said, what is it about comedians? She said, we Lance Boyles. You know, we see things that are bubbling up, and we lance them, we poke at them. You know, that's what we do, and that's what comedians do. The best comedians who, you know, from George Carlin and you know, Chris Rock and everybody, you know, they all have that ability to see things in a different way, but they make us see it, and that's why I always liked Lewis Black so much. He makes us see things that we may not have, we were aware of it, but we don't see it as clearly as he does. You know, that's the great thing about comedians. So, yeah, I mean, I interviewed so many people, you know, Jesse Ventura. I called him up when he was on his radio show when he was running for governor of Minnesota. And he was in the middle of the show, and his producer said, he'll call you right back. And he did, you know. So this was when he was running for governor, and he consented to the interview instantly because he wanted the publicity. He wanted to talk about hemp. So, yeah, it was always great meeting celebrities because you never knew who you were getting, and what they were going to be like. I got to interview Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper. You know, I've interviewed, you know, a few of the icons from Woodstock, from Graham Nash and David Crosby, Carlos Santana, Arlo Guthrie, all those guys from, you know, they were all in High Times at one time or another. And I was really, really just feel so fortunate to have met these guys. Yeah, you bet. So all of these people, not all the people I'm talking about right now are in the book, but you'll see, you know, all of these chapters in 200 pages, you'll see a real cross-section of people who were supportive of cannabis and who really, you know, put it out there. I think Woody was the first one to really, you know, really mainstream celebrity to put his celebrity on the line, and other people followed suit. People were glad to go into Hemp Times. It seems a little bit tamer, but getting celebrities in High Times was always kind of a problematic. You know, musicians and comedians were great, but getting mainstream actors.
Yeah, they're worried about the blowback.
Their image, exactly. But Woody didn't care about that. Woody said, I'm going to do it anyway. And his career has prospered.
When we had Woody, I think it was the second year, he's backstage at the main stage after he spoke, and there was this giant crowd of young people at the gate, right? And there's only one way out, you know, waiting for him. And so I was there with our security people, like, you know, how are we going to get him out of here, you know? And so we got this idea. We took him backstage in the tent, put a staff shirt on him, some glasses and a floppy shirt. And four staff people walked out, got on a Cushman and drove away. And they're all standing there waiting for Woody Harrelson with no idea that he just left. He'd just gone right by him, right?
And that is great. I never heard that.
He liked that so much. He thought that was the coolest thing. And of course, we let him keep the staff shirt. All right. I've actually run a minute over, and that's not cool. We're going to come right back with our last segment with Malcolm McKinnon.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with our final segment for Malcolm McKinnon. Malcolm, we both lived long enough to have existed in two worlds. The world before cannabis reforms had taken hold, when weed was highly illicit, illegal, and taboo subject and substance, and you kind of, you know, referred to that. And today, where cannabis is legally available in roughly half the United States, I think we're one state away from half. I was just talking to a friend last night. If you were 20, 21, 22 years old, you might not remember when cannabis wasn't for sale in brick and mortar stores, right?
I don't think they would. No, they wouldn't. I mean,
sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're 8 years old or something, you're not aware of that stuff. What are your thoughts on the state of cannabis today? And you touched on that a little bit, but if you could expound on that.
Well, you know, I have to say that I'm still buying off the black market. I get a wonderful pot from a private grower, and it's wonderful stuff. I have tried some of the stuff in dispensaries. I'm not real pleased. I think it's way overpriced, and I think the industry has been hurt, not only by people who are in to make a quick buck, but the fact is we have politicians who are don't understand cannabis to begin with, and want to make a lot of money on it. So they overtax it, overregulate it, and the burden on the industry is tremendous. I can't think of any new industry that has these kind of burdens put upon them. But that's the story right now, and I think things are loosening up a bit. I'm still, as far as I'm concerned, I just would like to see it like tomatoes and just remove the stigma altogether. We still have people, you know, robbing dispensaries and doing crazy stuff like that, and I just wish it was not quite as valuable as people think it is, because it is just a plant. It is a amazing plant. It has curative properties that are just off the hook. And I just wish people would look at it in that way once again, and rather than as merchandise. So yeah, I'm not pleased where the industry is going, but as I said, I'm happy with what I'm buying right now. And I think a lot of people are still buying off the black market because the pot's better and it's cheaper. So, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not really involved in the business side of the industry anymore. I've always been a journalist. So I hear what a lot of people are saying, and I witnessed a lot of it. And, you know, I'm not sold on the new industry. I wish it could be better. You know, that's all I can say, really.
You know, my opinion is it's a mixed bag. And you know, those of us that worked on reform for, you know, like in my case, more than half of my life, legalization meant to me that nobody's in jails and prisons, you know.
That's right. That's
so it seems like this is legalization on the prohibitionist terms, and that's not.
But
we can do better.
It's true. I mean, you're like in a state like Colorado, you have two states that border Colorado, Kansas and Nebraska, where it is still highly illegal. You know, so it's a very, very strange country we're living in right now, when you can have two different sets of laws that are so absolutely diametrically opposed. So, yeah, it's like I said, I wish we could grow it like tomatoes, and that vegetable stands, roadside vegetable stands in New England could sell it just like they sell native corn and tomatoes. Yeah,
maybe someday.
That's what I'd like to see. Yeah.
We have a little over a minute left. I want to make sure we get to this question, and that is, how can people get a hold of a copy of your book, and are signed copies available?
I am self-publishing. So yeah, if you want to contact me, I will order the book and sign it for you and send it to you. And I've been doing that for the last 3 weeks since it was published. You can go to potshotsbook.com. That'll lead you right to the Amazon page, or you can go straight to Amazon and look for Pot Shots, The Journey of a High Times Photographer. If you'd like it signed, once again, all you have to do is just ask me, and we'll get in touch with me through Facebook, and or just check out potshotsbook.com. You can contact me through there as well, and I'll be glad to sign copies for you. So, yeah, please check it out. It's Christmas is coming. This is a great stoner gift, and it's a great coffee table book. So please check it out, everybody. Merry Christmas. It'll be merrier when you buy my book.
Yes, it'll be merrier for you too. You know, I just want to say that you've always been such a great dude, man. You know, I've worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the years, and it was always a pleasure working with you, man. And
oh, thank you, Vivian.
You know, and knowing you, and you know, our politics align as well, which is so important in this day and age. And I'm never afraid to go
right
there on my show, of course.
But
you know, I just so look forward to seeing your book, man, because I know the passion and the skill that you put in to all of your work, and the work that I've seen is just exemplary. And frankly, the photography in High Times, in a large part, defined the magazine.
It did.
You know, the center.
We were the National Geographic of marijuana. Put it
that's
that
right
way.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I just want to thank you so
Vivian,
much.
Oh,
go ahead.
You bet. Well, Vivian, I'm going to send you a book.
I'm going to
so
let
don't,
you.
Don't, you don't have to go out and buy it, because you got to, you have two photos in that book of you, and you know, there's pictures of the few pictures from the Seattle Hemp Fest. So I want to send you a book,
Malcolm. I'm honored, and I'm honored to have you on the show. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks. Been my pleasure.
That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. The Hemp Present theme song is intro music, Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush, and the outro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. Stay strong. Marijuana!
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.